So welcome to Exodus 19, a nation married to Yah, with your host, Richard Massey. I pray that you guys are having a blessed Sunday morning. I pray that whatever you and your family are going through, that Yah gives you the strength to go through it. Today we're going to be reading from 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. But before we get started, let's read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And then from there we go to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the reign of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these matters shall be added unto you. So today we're going to read from again 1 Kings 22. And this chapter to me is amazing, because in this chapter you're going to witness a lot of back and forth. You're going to see some times that people just want you to say what they want to hear, even if they have a knowledge that it's going to be detrimental to their life or to their health. You're going to see two kings going back and forth, and you're going to see 401 prophets. 400 prophets are false, and one prophet is the prophet of Elohim. In the chapter, you're going to prove that even if it's a chance that we know the truth, we still want somebody or someone to tell us it's going to be okay, even if we die in the process. So let's get started, because it's a long chapter. Let's just have some fun with it. 1 Kings 22. And they continued 3 years without fighting between Iran, and Israel. And it came to be in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the sovereign of Judah, came down to the sovereign of Israel. Because remember, they were separated at this time. 3. And the sovereign of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? And we are keeping silence from taking it out of the hand of the sovereign of Aram, or out of Iran. 4. And he said to Jehoshaphat, do you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the sovereign of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. So whatever you down with, I'm down with. It's cool. 5. And Jehoshaphat said to the sovereign of Israel, please first inquire for the word of Yahuwah. Let's ask Yahuwah if it's okay that we go to Ramoth and take on this battle. Right? 6. And the sovereign of Israel gathered the prophets, about 400. Because remember we talked about, and this is Ahab actually. This is also in the book of Chronicles, this story. But this sovereign of Israel is Ahab. And remember I told you that his wife Jezebel has 400 prophets, false prophets, right? And the sovereign of Israel gathered the prophets, about 400 men, and said to them, do I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or do I refrain? And they said, go up, for Yahuwah does give it into your hand of the sovereign. So that's a pretty good thing, right? He has 400 prophets that's telling him to go ahead and go to war, because Elohim has your back. You're going to win it. You're going to get the property. It's all good. I don't know what Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Yehuda, I don't know what he sees in Ahab's prophets when they telling him that it's okay and that it's going to be fine to go. Because if you look at verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of Yahweh here? Like, I know you have your prophets, and I wish I could see what he sees to let him know that these are not Yahweh's prophets. Because this is just like, I'm not going to say it. So he said, and Yahweh said, is there not here a prophet of Yahweh besides that we might inquire of him as well? Let's look at 8. And the sovereign of Israel, who is Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiahu, the son of Yimlah, to inquire of Yahweh by him. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now, it's not the fact that he prophesies evil to you. He's being honest to you. But you want, and does this resonate with anybody? You want what you want so bad that that's why you tell people of the church that they're judging you. Because you want to live a certain kind of life and you don't want you. It's almost like you want to die. Right. So when you see Elohim, you can say nobody never told me. It's almost like that's what you want. And this is regards to anything. It's almost like you'd rather have everybody that knows the truth. Because you actually know the truth as well. But you want it to be to where. If nobody tells you that you're wrong, it's almost like if you go before Elohim, you could say, I never knew, which could be true, and nobody ever told me. So it's like that's what he wants. So he says he hates me because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but it's always something evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the sovereign say so. Let you not have the last word to whether we get Micaiahu or not. Let's just get him, see what he say, and go from there. We just want to know what Elohim is saying that we should do, not just your prophets. So the sovereign of Yehuda, the king, called an officer and said, bring Micaiahu, son of Yimlah, at once. 10. And the sovereign of Israel and Jehoshaphat, sovereign of Yehuda, was sitting each on his throne, dressed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Shamaron, or at Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before him. Probably you can go, you know, God's going to bless you. God, you know, it's going to be okay, blah, blah, blah. God is your protection. He's your whatever, whatever. And, you know, they're like, he's like, okay. So they're all 400. You have 400 prophets telling you that it's okay. That's pretty doggone good, right? 400 prophets giving you the okay that you can go up there and win. But something with Jehoshaphat, he's not buying into it. He needs to hear, even if it's one more prophet, you come in here and you tell me it's good, we good. So 11. And to sigh, Kuya, son of Kina Anai, had made the horns of iron for himself and said, thus says Yahweh, with these you push the Armenians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets were prophesying, so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for Yahweh shall give it into the hand of the sovereign. Again, you can go. Come on, we're telling you that you can definitely go up there. 13, and the messenger who had gone to call Micaiahu spoke to him. Now, he's going to have a private conversation with Micaiahu before he gets in front of the king. And the audacity for him to say to him what he's going to say to him in 13, saying, see now, the words of the prophet, it's with one mouth, one agreement, are good towards the sovereign. Please let your words be like the words of one of them, and you shall speak good. It's not a matter of the truth. Tell me what I want to hear. Even if it means death to me. Tell me. Don't tell me about my weight. Don't tell me about my lifestyle. Don't tell me about what I'm doing. Just tell me that everybody has a right to do what they want to do. And it's all good. Even if I know I'm wrong. Even if I'm cheating on my wife. If you my bull, don't tell me that I'm doing wrong. Don't save my family, even if you know that I'm going to end up losing my family in the long run. Let's be bulls and have my back. Be a false prophet to me, please. Right? So he's telling Micaiahu to speak good like everybody else. So 14, and Micaiahu says, as Yahweh lives, whatever Yahweh say to me, he says, that is what I speak. Right? Now, something happens to Micaiahu. I don't know if he's just playing around, but it seems like he changes his mind in 15 because it says, and he came to the sovereign or to the king, and the sovereign said to him, Micaiahu, do we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or do we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for Yahweh shall give it into the hand of the sovereign. Right? So he's telling him to go. He's telling him what the messenger that walked down the hall with him was telling him to tell the king. He told the king. But look at the king's response to Micaiahu, Ahab. 16. And the sovereign said to him, how many times have I made you swear that you do not speak to me except the truth in the name of Yahweh? Let that verse stick in your craw. Look at that verse. And Ahab said to him, how many times have I made you swear that you do not speak to me except the truth? I know they're lying. I know when I go to Ramoth, there's a very good chance I'm going to die. These guys are just telling me what I want to hear. And that's the point I'm trying to get to, right? But I told you before to only talk to me in truth when it comes down to Yahweh. Right? 17. So he said, now he's going to tell the truth. So he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no master. Let everyone return to his house in peace. When they said that you hit the leader and the crowd will scatter, that's what's going to happen. He's telling Ahab, you're going to die. Because remember yesterday, Ahab was supposed to die. He humbled himself and Yah forgave him. But this time in the very next chapter, he wants to go to Ramah, right? So he said, and I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain and sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no master. Let everyone return to his house in peace. So he's telling him pretty much, you're going to die. That's the truth of it. Now the rest is up to you. Your God said you're going to live. My God said you're going to die. It's up to you. 18. And the sovereign of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, have I not said to you that he would not prophesy good concerning me? But evil. It's not evil, it's the truth. Yah is telling him to tell you, if you go up there, you're going to die. Now, it's up to you. But you want that land so bad, you're going to override what you heard. You're going to listen to your false prophets that's preaching false doctrine, that's following the traditions of men, leading you to deception. That's what you want to do, right? That's how bad you want that land. That's how bad we want that thing in life that we're doing. Right? 19. Then he said, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne and all the host. Now we're going into a different type of story. Now follow this. This is why I have a title that says the acts of Yah. Because Yah does stuff. Right? Then he said, therefore, hear the words of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. 20. And Yahweh said, not the devil, Who shall entice Ahab to go up and to fall at Ramoth Gilead? And this one said this, and another said that. These are evil spirits talking to Yahuwah, telling him that I'll go down and encourage him to go. I'll talk to, because I'm already talking to his false prophets in regards to him going anyway, right? This is deep, right? Did I skip one? No. So 21, and the spirit came forward and stood before Yahuwah and said, let me entice him, right? 22, and Yahuwah said to him, in what way? Like, what are you going to do? He said, and I shall go down and be a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. When the New Testament talks about handing you over and putting you under a strong delusion, a lot of these pastors are giving prophecy. Yahuwah is allowing that evil spirit to be in them. And if you can't decipher the truth from the lie, you're going to fall right with them, right? 21, and the spirit came forward and stood before Yahuwah and said, let me entice him. 22, and Yahuwah said to him, in what way? And he said, I'll go down and be a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, entice him and also prevail. He said, you better overcome this and do well in getting him to fall for this. Right? He said, entice him and also prevail. Go out and do so. 23, and now see, Yahweh has put a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all the prophets of yours, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning you. 24, and Tesai Qiyahu, son of Kenanaha, came near and smote Micaiah, who on the cheek, and said, where did the spirit of Yahuwah pass over from me to speak to you? And Micaiah, who said, look, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner room to hide. Like, so that guy smacked Micaiah for talking to the king. I guess he felt like Micaiah, who was being rude, he smacked him. And he said, so where did that spirit come from? And Micaiah, who said, you're going to see tomorrow about this time when your behind is up in the room hiding because the war is at your feet. And the sovereign of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the son of the sovereign. 27, and say, thus said the sovereign, put this one in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come back in peace. 28, and Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, because Yahuwah hasn't spoken by me, and he said, hear all you people. So Ahab said, give him bread and water until I come back. And yet Micaiah said, that's if you come back, because Yahuwah didn't tell me so. Now, it seemed like Micaiah, who earlier prophesied that Ahab wasn't coming back, right? 29, and the sovereign of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the sovereign of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. 30, and the sovereign of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, let me disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the sovereign of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. If it's for you, no matter what you look like, if God tells you that what you're doing is wrong and you're going to try to disguise yourself or hide under some type of emotion, he'll find you out. 31, and the sovereign of Aram, or Iraq, had commanded the 32 commanders of his chariot, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the sovereign of Israel. 32, and it came to be, when the commanders of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, indeed, it is a sovereign of Israel. They thought he was, right? Because he was in his robe. Now, he's dressed as a king, right? So they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. 33, and it came to be when the commanders of the chariot saw that it was not the sovereign of Israel, because Jehoshaphat is the sovereign or the king of Yehuda. They want to find the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him because they were like, yeah, he's not the one we want. And that's amazing. Wow, that's amazing too. 34, and the man drew a bow in simplicity and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his armor and said to the driver of the chariot, and he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. This is Ahab, right? 35, and the battle increased that day, and the sovereign was propped up in his chariot, facing the Armenians, and died at evening. And the blood that ran out from the wound into the floor of the chariot, remember yesterday, Yah told him that the very blood that the dogs licked up with Naboth, they're going to lick up with you. And the blood ran out from the wound into the floor of the chariot. 36, and as the sun was going down, a shout passed through the camp saying, each to his city and each to his land. 37, so the sovereign died and was brought to Shamaron, and they buried the sovereign in Shamaron. 38, and when the chariot was washed at the pool of Shamaron, the dogs licked up his blood where the whores bathed. According to the word of Yahweh, which he had spoken in 1 Kings 21. Even though he forgave him, he did die thereafter. 39, and the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he built, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the books of the annals of the sovereigns of Israel? 40, so Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. 41, and Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to reign over Yehuda in the fourth year of Ahab, sovereign of Israel. 42, Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became sovereign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shihah. And he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of Yahweh. Only the high places were not taken down, for the people slaughtered and burnt incense on the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the sovereigns of Israel. 45. And the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and the might that he showed and how he fought, are they not written in the book of the annals of the sovereigns of Yehuda? And the rest of the cult prostitutes who remained in the days of his father Asa, he cleared out from the land. So they're telling you all the good things that Jehoshaphat did to follow after Yah's word. And there was then no sovereign in Edom. A deputy was sovereign. And Jehoshaphat made Tarshish ships. And Tarshish ships are Greek ships, to go to Ophir for gold. However, they did not go, for the ships were wrecked. Right? I can't pronounce that word. So you get the gist of this chapter, which I thought was a great chapter, how, you know, Jehoshaphat wanted some confirmation that it was okay to go to war, and, you know, how Ahab had his own prophets, and then the Bible showed you that Jehoshaphat can see that his prophets weren't enough. He wanted word from an actual prophet of Yah, who came in and said, no, you shouldn't go. So my point is that, you know, we're supposed to examine ourselves daily. And a lot of things that we're doing, what I'm trying to do with these podcasts are show you. Because a lot of these chapters, I believe, maybe you never read these chapters before. Maybe you don't read the Bible. And maybe with the people that you follow that do read the Bible, maybe these are chapters that they don't go into. So I'm just trying to judge and teach. Being a zedek or a governor of righteousness, I'm trying to judge and teach, right? To show you, if you go into 1 Kings 22 and you read that with me and you saw what I read to maybe so that you can make a better decision on your life, maybe you'll put that thing down. Maybe you won't continue to fill your cup of iniquity to where it becomes a stronghold or get to a point of no return. But, my intentions are good for the people who watch. I don't have no hidden agenda. Just want to share with you. That's all. So this is just a reminder that this podcast is on Spotify, and you can find me on Richard's Podcast. Also on Instagram, and you can find me on 19_Exodus. I'm live on YouTube as well, and that's 19Exodus, Richard Massey. I'm also on TikTok at Exodus19. So don't forget to like my page and to share it with somebody where it applies. And don't forget to hit the notification button. And let's give a round of applause to Elohim and Yahshua, because they are worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And a special shout out to my man Richard Turner for my background music. And next week, I'll be reading from Jeremiah 28 or Jeremiah 28. So thanks for being with me. Thanks for watching my videos. I would appreciate it if you gave me a thumbs up, a thumbs down. What can I do better? Stuff like that. But I just want to say have a blessed and awesome day. And shalom.